Lipke in motion sets up wide left. Prescott rolling that way. Rolling, looking, throwing down the left sideline. Intercepted at the 33-yard line.
All right, we got to talk about one more Dak Prescott decision. I'm not blaming him as much as everyone else. And again, yesterday, I'm starting the blame overall with Dak, the offense, and Mike McCarthy. I'm not taking this to Mike Zimmer and the defense for a change. That offense is putrid. Dak's interceptions were awful. No 50-50, maybe this, maybe that. There's a defender just sitting and waiting. Ball's hanging in the air. But let's talk about the throw to Turpin. Okay? Final, last chance. You're trying to have Pittsburgh 2.0. First down, a force feed to CD in triple coverage that probably should have been picked off. Second down, whatever. And then third down, he makes an absolutely perfect throw to Cavante along the left sideline. I don't think it was an absolute gimme catch. I thought it would have been like a really, really nice play from Cavante, just with the angle, the way his body was, the way the ball was coming in. It was a 10 out of 10 throw. Absolutely perfect. Turpin doesn't catch it. A lot of the criticism is, and I heard Zach and Broadus in the postgame, it's not a high percentage play. Why are you doing that on third down? You only need to go ahead and pick up the first down and try to reset the downs. Why is the Cowboys option in that moment a 5'8" player running a vertical route on the sideline with no catch radius and no ability to go over the top? That's not an insult to Cavante. That's just what God planned for him. kind of like my hands. It is what it is. What do we make of the play? What do we make of the throw? What do we make of the drop before we get back to the Tolos here on Sean and RJ?
I wish it wasn't the reality of the situation that they in part don't have anybody else. They've got one guy, right? They have one receiver.
Yep.
They have a tight end.
Yeah.
Like those are their options. Like part of the problem with the play is a lack of options. They don't have.
Yeah.
And this is because they've missed. They've missed on some pitch. They missed on Gallup. I mean, they hit on him. Then he got hurt. They missed. You know, they signed the miss on the re-sign.
Cooks is old.
Tolbert is
2 or 3 targets a game.
Right. So they just don't have an option. They don't have, like, you look at San Fran. I mean, San Fran has, there are like 5 guys in that team as receivers they could actually put out there. I mean, Ayuk wasn't even there. Jennings wasn't even there. Like they have guys they can use beyond just Debo. So it's part of a larger problem than the one play.
Yeah, I didn't have an issue with that particular throw. I have a bigger issue with...
It was a perfect throw.
Mm-hmm. Or even that decision.
The decision.
Like, I mean, if Cavante Turpin... Like, the ball got there. Cavante Turpin, it got over the defender. It wasn't like, height was a problem. The ball got in his hands and he dropped it. Like, it just wasn't completed.
8 out of 10 times, maybe 9 out of 10 times, he should catch that.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, 10 out of 10, he should. But yeah. Like, but I mean, just will he have time?
Like,
no.
It wasn't the easiest. It wasn't like a Debo drop.
Sure, but like, Debo, he had a couple of them last night. Ball in his hands.
Well, I referenced it. I watched the games, Garrett.
I know. The aspect here that I had an issue with more was just the overall play calling of the feel, it seemed like, of just, well, we got to drop back and throw it every time, clearly. Why? There's 3 minutes left. You can run your offensive sets. You do not have to get into, well, this is clearly, we just got to take shots and throw it down the field. No, like, you could have handed the ball off on first down and you could have then gone with some play action or tried to, you know, just get a, let me get an easy throw to the flat. Let me do a smoker. Like, there were things that they didn't need to get it all right there. And that's what I don't understand. It was very, well, we clearly got to pick up 20 on all of these throws right now with 3 minutes left.
Ray in Dallas, you're up next here on a Cowboys Monday. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good morning, man. Good
morning.
Hey, man, big star down to the entire Dallas organization, man. And I've been a longtime Cowboy fan, man, since long as I can remember, man. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but big star up to Jaden Daniels and Noah Brown and the whole entire Washington Redskins organization with Dan Quinn leading the helm. Hey, I just got one question. Who's coming with me?
Oh, you going over? You going to the district?
No, man, I'm not, man. But that's what it's coming down to, man. Yeah. Jerry Jones, man, come on, man.
Yes.
We got to do better, man.
Oh, no,
I was watching the game, and my wife, you know, my wife was like, "You rooting for Washington Redskins?" Like, I never thought I'd see the day, and I'm just like, "Oh yeah, I am." You know, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
something needs to change.
Thank you for the call, bro. Yeah, Dan Quinn and Noah Brown making today even worse. I will say, and I don't want to burn a lot of time on it today. Yesterday was the first day, and today, this morning, I'm starting to get draft excited. So, in my assumption, the Cowboys would lose. I didn't think they'd get smoked. I think I picked the six-point game, but I lost on the over-under for daggone sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no way. And it started off,
started off great. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
10-6 halftime?
Yeah.
And these teams aren't going to sit there and score in the 40s. Ended up losing that. Thought it'd be some type of weird Cowboy close game. My bigger takeaway is San Fran is not that dangerous versus the Cowboys are closer to San Francisco. Maybe they're closer to them for the wrong reasons, like the 49ers aren't that great. But since I assume the Cowboys will lose to San Fran, I kind of wanted Washington to win yesterday for the separation because we need draft talk. We need a lot of great top five draft talk for this offseason. But more on that later.
Really quickly, I will just say on the Dan Quinn point, I know he was doing a joke there. I did see a lot of...
That draft talk just ain't going to be for a quarterback, by the way.
I did see a lot of, you could have had Dan Quinn. You let Dan Quinn walk out the door. That line of thinking, that needs to stop right now because that's revisionist history for a lot of this fan base. You guys were chasing Dan Quinn out of town by the time he left.
Yep, true. Grant, you're...
Yeah, don't be fooled by the Hail Mary either.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're losing. That was a 99% loss. Don't be fooled by that.
Grant, you're up next here on 105.3 The Fan. Go ahead.
Perfect segue on draft talk because we have absolutely flopped on first round picks and second round picks the past 2 years. So Schoonmaker, terrible. Mozzie, terrible. So I don't know what kind of draft talk we want to talk about, but that scares me already that we are going to screw up that. The second thing is Mike McCarthy's play calling is absolutely atrocious. You look at, apparently you can run pick plays now because that got turned over last night. Yeah. So why don't we try that? We have the least amount of separation for our receivers and Dak still sucks. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you for the call.
To be fair on the draft stuff real quick, I mean, the last 2 years they have been picking like 28th or, you know, get the 26th.
Yeah.
You get the point. Like it's much more of a coin flip than it is top 15.
I don't think this year's draft class is going to be bad. Like, I think BB's coming along, Guyton's coming along. Neyland looked good before he got hurt. Last year's is obviously a bad one, but once out of every 5 years, you're going to have drafts like this.
And that's part of the problem that they put themselves in. They forced themselves to dominate the draft, and they generally, for 20 years, have done a pretty good job. Well, not quite 20. But you get the point. They've generally done a pretty good job.
Russ and Flower Mound, you're up next on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Go ahead, Russ.
Yeah, man, I'm calling from the other side of the ball. I'm a big San Francisco fan.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I get to watch a lot of Cowboys football here, and I can just say a couple things about that, man. Their offense is putrid. They've got one. You started off this segment saying they're a one-trick pony. They are. That poor defense is holding on for dear life. You know, you watch San Francisco, they've got – all kind of injuries on their side of the ball, and they just play. They truly do play the next man up. They're just, you know, doing everything they can to get to back to 4-4. And watching that against Dallas, man, those guys were just, you know, barely hanging on. And then you finally saw the defense give up because the offense was so bad.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb with 7 for 48 in the first half. He was targeted on nearly half his routes. There's a T.O. force feed factor here now. I'm not calling Lamb T.O. It's just a feeling of if Dak doesn't go to him, if we're going to pick up 2 or 3 yards running, they'd rather just throw it to Lamb so CD doesn't pout and get unhappy. I'm not calling him as toxic and poisonous as T.O., but it is a force feed. First 100-yard game for Lamb on the season. Corbin in Wiley. Corbin, you're up next here on Sean and RJ. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I just have two short, dumb points. First one is the Cowboys will never even sniff a Super Bowl until Jerry dies and the curse is lifted. And second is we all think Dak was a nice idea. But next time we do the draft right and it's full regalia. Love you guys. Have a good day.
What's that? Is that a reference?
I have no idea. Was that a Jerry like impression I think he was doing?
Maybe. Maybe. I'm not looking forward to this tomorrow at 8:30.
Okay.
I'm not.
Really?
No. No.
I bet you we're going to get loads of optimism tomorrow.
My goal tomorrow, right now.
Not pick up the scab.
Is to have Jerry throw someone else in the front office under the bus. I'm putting that out there. So for all the front office people, for the PR people, you can relay it to get Jerry ready. I'm going to try to have Jerry throw someone else under the bus for some of the decisions. Maybe he will take the bait. Otherwise, start coming up with questions now. It's not going to be fun. I don't have much left internally.
Yeah, it's not about the games, right? Like, I don't have much left about the season.
Yeah.
There's plenty to get to, but the question is is he going to bite?
Well, we're not going to keep going back to this past offseason either. No.
Well, I mean, look, you still haven't asked the biggest question. When are you going to fire the GM, Jerry? No. When are you going to do it?
Fire the GM? Fire yourself,
that's Jerry. The question you should be asking, you damn coward.
Yeah, which hasn't been asked 5 billion times.
Jacoby.
Mike Leslie would ask it.
Jacoby, you're up next here on DFW Sports Station. Go ahead, man.
Hey, man. Good morning. Sorry, y'all up there in the studio.
Morning.
All right, man, I got a few things I could sit and talk about, like that horrible game. How Jerry want to fire y'all before he want to fire Mike McCarthy. I don't understand, really, though, is if you know you got Nick Bosa coming and you've been trying your hardest to get Dak some time, why not go ahead and kick Tyler Smith out to the tackle? Because you know your right tackle gets killed every time you go against a star edge rusher.
Yeah.
Well, at least help him. You got to do something about that. The double is not helping because Nick Bosa back there flexing. And, oh, man, the Cowboys got a whole lot of problems. And, man, I think I'm going to be a Houston fan for us.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Maybe we got to get that gone first. We got to get that gone. Y'all have a good morning, man.
Thank you for the call. You know, they were talking about this a little bit on the broadcast, putting out help for Bosa, and we're already talking about no one else to throw to. You have CD, maybe Ferg, then nothing. So now I'm going to go ahead and devote more. Maybe that's why Rico was ill, because they needed Zeke to block. And then, of course, they got Rico deactivated because Dalvin Cook got his time last night. And here's Rico out signing autographs.
Here's the thing. He's signing autographs. Really ill. He's apparently signing autographs with a 102-degree fever.
Those are doctor's notes.
What he told Calvin that he had a 102-degree fever, and that was after taking Tylenol, it went up to 102. And that's when they're like, okay, well, that seems odd. We may need to sit you tonight. But, I mean, look, we've got Washington this morning. Now we've got Houston.
Yeah, Rico is coming off his best game of the season.
That's insane.
His best, what?
To have a 102-degree fever and take the Tylenol, it goes up.
Yeah, do you know why it's insane? Because
it's not real?
It's not real. Mm. That's why it's not insane. Oh. What are you talking about? This is a fake deactivation. Everyone knows it. There's no conspiracy. They needed Zeke. And he had the one block that justified it all, right? That San Fran player was kind of hurting down. And they're like, Zeke Elliott will do that to you, Collinsworth. But you have Zeke there to chip Nick Bosa. That's their justification. And then Dalvin Cook, we all got what we finally wanted. Rico plays his best game of the season. What happens the next 2 weeks? Zeke gets more carries after complaining behind the scenes. And then he's deactivated with a fake illness. Harrison and Mesquite. Harrison, you're up next here on The Fan. 102 times.
Hey guys, I thought Dak played so poor, man, his decision making.
Yeah.
Offensive line played fairly well. You gotta give some sacks up to Bosa. Come on, fellas, watch the game. You're gonna give some sacks up. But Zimmer and that defense, man, hey, put a corner on Kittles. You gonna let the tight end kill you all day? Jones has two calls to make after the season. Call Ben Johnson, offense coordinator of Detroit, and the defense coordinator in Minnesota. That's it. Mm. And, guys, hey, don't boo Jones. He don't tackle. Boo the players. I'm tired of y'all giving the players a break. Boo the damn players on the field. Jones don't tackle and run. Come on, guys. Get with it. Y'all scared to boo the players. That them is not stepping up. Boo them. Boo them. That's all you got to do. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. He's talking to us about booing?
We're not really at the games. Can't really boom.
The hot noise.
I'm at the games. I'm not allowed to make noise in the press box. Yeah.
Make sure
you can. All right. What happened if you actually cheered in the press box?
I don't know. Ask Washington reporters.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. It's Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL. Let's take a little break to look at the separation in the division. The Giants play the Steelers tonight, but Philadelphia and Washington both in action. Hail to the Mary with Dan Quinn. Commercial-free expressway with a brand new giveaway this week as well after this.
41 on the right hash. Good snap and hold. The kick is away. Carlson is 3-for-3, and the Niners lead by a score of 30-17.
Hey, Hail Mary.
Full of grace.
Was that the Hail Mary call? Brad Sham doing Sounds. Commanders games too?
Yeah.
That was the opposite, I think. I think that was a field goal.
Yeah, it was a field goal. We want the Hail Mary around the rest of the NFL. Get ready for the Hail Mary. Chris Strong in for Peyton Russell. The perfect game is gone. This is Shad, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. This is the commercial-free expressway. We try to leave. We try to take a mental break, and Chris is just pulling us right back into the Cowboys 30-24 loss. But you look at the NFC East, and they are now 3-4, and the Eagles and Commanders both won. The New York Giants will play the Steelers tonight with a record of 2-5. Let's get to the play that everyone in the sports world is talking about.
Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line, and the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy.
Nance with a call on CBS as the legend of Jaden Daniels continues. He comes back from the hip ? Battle of number one versus number two. Ugly, low scoring game. And the Commanders win it with Noah Brown catching the tip in the end zone.
It's a fake victory. I don't count it. They got utterly destroyed in the fourth quarter in this game. Because you had the fumble, too. They didn't even force the fumble. It was just a bad handoff or a bad exchange, I should say.
Oh, the refrigerator Perry play?
Yeah.
Yeah. Three things in this game. The Hail Mary, what Chicago decided to do with the handoff down by the goal line. Mm-hmm. And the freaking player, the defender, the Chicago Bear taunting the crowd while Jaden Daniels is running around for 12.75 seconds.
And he's the one that tipped it, too.
He's the one that tipped it, too. Yes.
But, I mean, Chicago, they shouldn't even have been in this game because their offense was putrid through 2.5 quarters. And then they should have had a much bigger lead because they should have scored a touchdown there.
Bears were down 12-0 in this game.
And then you get that little, you get the Hail Mary, which, again, never should have happened.
I thought Romo did a really nice job calling the out pattern right before that.
Better this year, by the way.
Why these teams continue to not rush the passer? We go through this. No one rushes the passer. Let's Jaden run around. But I saw two games recently, whether it's college or the pros, where they bring heat on the quarterback, and the quarterback hasn't even gotten the throw off. Sacrifice a defender. Sacrifice two defenders that are all going to get jumbled up into the pack anyway by the goal line and put some damn pressure on the quarterback. That would be an absolute must-have for my defense in a Hail Mary situation. We are not just going to rush two or three or whatever they're doing.
I'm guessing what a lot of that philosophy has to do with is related to, okay, we're guarding the Hail Mary one, but also if they come out here and decide to run hook and ladder, we don't want to lose that defender that's now upfield.
Yeah.
And so I would guess that's part of it, but I'm going to call you on this, Chop, calling this a fake victory. Because I feel like if that game ends, then when we're talking about it, then you would be coming in here and you'd be telling us, look, Washington really should have won this game. They had 180 more yards. They had 10 more first downs. They were up 12 in this game. Like, I feel like they dominated the game.
They did.
They got a fluky play at the end.
Right.
But they dominated.
Right, but that's also football, right?
They
where you get
it.
Like, yeah, you win the game. The Lions had that earlier. You mentioned that with Tampa. They should have won that game.
I mean, 12-0, 15-12, 12-7 are the scores. I mean, that's not dominating the game. This was an ugly 3 to 5 point game throughout much. But
oh, yeah.
It was 12.
But yeah, just from like a perspective, like, how are you moving the ball?
Yeah.
They picked up 2 yards per play more than the Bears did in this game. Like,
right.
they were moving the ball. They controlled the ball. There was a lot that was working for Washington. I do think that when you see that, play, and then you see all the reaction from Quinn and Daniels and everybody else there, that was the first moment I said that culture's fully healed. The Dan Snyder era has officially, like, they've come through that other side where it's probably still a little awkward in the first year or two where they're doing different things. That was the moment where it's like, they've all forgotten about it. They've forgotten about Snyder being there, and they're in a new era now, and that makes them even more dangerous.
Here was the call on Commanders radio.
Four of them at the goal line. They bring three. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up. Fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is...
The most excitement in D.C. since the start of RG3, 6-2 on top of the division. Everyone's going to be focused on the throw. You're focusing on their run, Bobby.
Yeah, so they have become, it's wild to see that they've become arguably the best running football team in the NFL. And it's because of just, A, how difficult it's been for the Commanders to run the ball in recent years. But B, who did they bring in? They brought in Cliff Kingsbury, who was roasted for neglecting the run and wanting to run the Mike Leach air raid, just throw the ball 70 times
kind
of offense. And Cliff, to his credit, went back, figured out some things, figured out a lot of this Shanahan running stuff that gets used a lot, has incorporated a lot more of that. And now the Commanders, this game yesterday, they had three players that rushed for at least 50 yards. That's the fourth time this year they've had multiple 50-yard rushers in a game. And I think that when you look at Dallas's two games they have coming up, with Dallas already struggling to stop the run completely, I would bet you that in those two games, Washington runs cumulatively for 400 yards. They're going to average 200 yards a game against them. Dallas has given up 180 yards rushing in more than half their games now.
Wow. Do we give a star up? Do we go close to a star up for the defense yesterday, the Cowboys defense, or run D?
The first half, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, when we talked about
half a star,
half a star.
When we talk about the quietest, when I said the quietest, however amount of receiving yards, though, I was surprised by that. I will say that by the end of the game, I was like, I didn't think it felt like 223 yards that they allowed to San Francisco.
223?
Wow. They allowed 223 on the ground.
Seems excessive.
56 from Purdy, 85 from Garendo, 39 from Pearsall. That was on one carry. They handled Mason. Mason got hurt. 6 for 18 for Jordan. Debo 4 for 15. Nothing crazy there. Patrick Taylor 2 for 9. 223.
Garendo hurts.
It does.
Garendo hurts a lot.
Hurts a lot for two reasons.
Garendo, if they don't trade the pick for Trey Lance, I think the Cowboys pick Isaac Garendo in the fourth round. That's who they liked. Mm. And Garendo goes 5 picks after the Trey Lance traded pick. And in fact, 3 running backs. Ray Davis, who's been doing great in Buffalo, Garendo, Bucky Irving in Tampa. Those 3 running backs went in the 5 picks after your pick that you traded for Trey Lance.
And the other reason it hurts, because he's a good interview, too. Like, you heard him out in the post game. I mean, he actually listens to the question.
No, I was too busy looking at freaking George Kittle, his stupid wrestling belt. I'm out. I'm out on Kittle and all the fun.
So are his teammates. Did you see Purdy? Like, we're just sitting there watching this, and Purdy was like, oh, this guy. Yeah. Going down this road again.
So the Commanders win with the Hail Mary that everyone is talking about. So did Filthy.
Fake it to Barkley. Hurts, sets, throws, looking for the home run ball. End zone! Devontae Smith! Touchdown! Over the shoulder! Spectacular!
That one right there kind of broke it open. The Devontae bomb. The game was tied against the Bengals. Saquon has the nail, and the Eagles win in Cincy 37-17. The Eagles are five. Are they a quiet 5-2?
Very.
Cincy falls to 3-5.
They are quiet. They are. And that was a game going in. I was thinking, all right, do I bet this game? How do I bet this game? I'm not touching it because I'm like, since he could absolutely go in there and beat, not go in there, they could actually absolutely win this game at home. And early on, it looked like they might. But Philadelphia in the second half was just phenomenal. And they deserve to win that game, absolutely.
They scored 27 in the second half since he scored 7.
When Philadelphia has Lane Johnson in the lineup this year, they're 5-1, and their one loss was a one-point loss to Atlanta when they went down the field for the game-winning drive. Philly's been good, and Philly's playing well, and it's starting to click for them offensively. At this point, I think if you're a Cowboys fan who doesn't want to see the Eagles have success, you need to start cheering for just the Sirianni-like factor to just blow them up, to just destroy their culture, because otherwise, they're playing well now. This is a better team that's playing right now than the one that started last year 10-1 or whatever it was. So, to me, that's what you got to cheer for if you don't want to see Philly's success. Like, if that's all you're worried about, whether Dallas is good or not, then you need to start cheering for the Sirianni factor to blow that up, because I don't know that talent-wise it's going to.
877-881-1053. In order to hit us up here on the home of the Cowboys, this is the commercial-free expressway on DFW Sports Station. Chris, let's get ready for the giveaway. We don't want to make Tolos wait. They're already suffering through another Cowboys Monday. Whether you're ready to go, let's hit it.
Hey, Tolos, we have a pair of tickets to Gabriel Iglesias at Lucas Oil Live, Windstar Casino and Resort. Call at 877-881-1053 for a chance to win the pair of tickets via SeatGeek.
All right, so let me just get some of my star ups out of the way.
Oh, okay.
Aww. We had to start the show with rage and anger. Yeah. I did have a star up to, like, backbone. They showed some backbone last night. They usually crumble. They usually take a noogie, they usually get a wedgie, and they usually get their heads flushed into a toilet by the school, by the high school bully. And that did not happen yesterday, at least early on. It felt like they could stand toe-to-toe with San Francisco's physicality. My favorite player on the team, Jake Ferguson, standing up. That special teams tussle that took place with the fighting back and forth. I agree with you with Zeke running hard with some physicality and trying to finish off some of those runs. I didn't feel like the Cowboys were getting pushed around, bullied, punked, and laughed at last night. So I had a star up for their spine.
Yeah, and look, I guess the only question you would have then is when they come out in the second half, is that did San Francisco go, oh, okay, we saw what they did here, let's make this adjustment, and now we're just bullying them again, and they can't respond to that? Or was it just they're better? They're better than you, and eventually it clicked into place for him, which is probably closer to what it was. I think that's fair. There was some star up and backbone's part of that. They didn't wilt. It shows me that it wasn't tough talk this week. The good stuff we heard coming out of there about how they felt like they had a plan, I think they did have a plan, and I think they did execute it fairly well early on both sides of the ball. You're not very good is just what it is.
I have a couple star-ups as well, Sean.
All right.
I star-upped the Cowboys' defense on 4th-and-3 in the second quarter. They left Debo so wide open that Purdy threw behind him. Okay? That was just good psychological warfare right there by the Cowboys. Also star-up, the Cowboys did not have a player wearing a Guardian cap. San Francisco did. Okay? It shows good alpha energy. You got to have alpha. You know, true alphas don't care about head trauma.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So this is what we're talking about here. You got to look at the bright side in a couple of these.
So it's star up for no guardian
cap.
That's star like the up. NFL version of a mask.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's
all right. I'm going to rename
Who was it that said the CTE was fake?
Stone Cold.
Stone Cold. That's right. So you got a big Stone Cold energy here.
All
right.
I'm going to rename this every week. When they lose, you have to do these. I'm going to call it scar up.
Scar. All right.
It's the scars that we get every game day watching this team, but in a little funny way from RJ Choppy. Okay. So scar up for some of the highlights. I had San Francisco penalties. It brought back a Debo touchdown. Kittle had a hold on a big run. It was 6 penalties from San Fran, 3 for the Cowboys. 80 yards of first half offense was brought back in the first half. Star up for, this would be a scar up, Mike McCarthy getting away with the time management at the end of the half.
Yeah.
3 plays in 36 seconds. Did not get a first down. They stopped the clock twice. About the worst possible outcome, San Fran did not burn them. So scar up.
Scar up.
For dodging that bullet.
Absolutely.
And then CD probably gets my biggest star up of the entire game. I'm a little surprised at the Lamb criticism today. and throughout the game. Now, a lot of people are going to point to garbage time. A lot of people are going to point to CeeDee's just going to whine and complain, so he's going to be force-fed to get some of these numbers. Atolo sent me a tweet from James Nagel from Fansided. Dak Prescott at San Fran, within one score in eight drives, 116 yards, no touchdowns, two picks. Down by two-plus scores in four drives, 127 yards, two touchdowns, and zero picks. And the caption is, no one is better when the pressure is low. So a shot from James at Fansided towards number four. Any other star-ups, scar-ups, praise you want to throw out there, Roberto?
I star up for Guyton and Smith and Beebe. I think the center to the left side of the line was pretty strong overall for this game. I like what they did. They gave up 223 rushing yards, so clearly things weren't great on the second level completely or on the, you know, in the trenches. But I thought star up, there were a few different times where DeMarvian Overshown flashed and made a big play and made a difference. I was honestly surprised Purdy didn't fumble when DeMarvian Overshown hit him. I was certain he was going to fumble when he hit him.
That was the chance.
And he got asked about it afterwards. They're like, were you surprised he did that? He's like, man, he runs a lot. He's like, I think he's probably used to ball protection and being prepared to take those hits and has to practice that. He's like, so I guess that's kudos to him. But he's like, yeah, I thought we were going to be able to jar the ball loose there.
Yeah, that looked like a miracle that he was able to hold on to that. That was the chance.
It amazes me, I think, probably about half, more than half the time, when a quarterback is blindside hit and they're still able to hold on to that football. Those footballs are not easy to grip. I mean, you've got to have, like, just, first of all, massive hands, but strong fingers, too, to be able to grip that.
Yesterday, let's go around the rest of the NFL. Then we'll do best and worst of the weekend, including a must-hear story from my house and a member of the G-Bag Nation. And then 8 o'clock, what Trayvon Diggs did after the game with the post-game blow-up with a reporter that everyone is discussing. Yesterday was National Tight End Day. I don't know whether you heard.
I did.
11 touchdowns in the first 8 games. In the previous 108 games this season, there were 56 touchdowns. So there have been 56 tight end touchdowns up until yesterday, 11 in just the first 8 games, then Kittle and others added to it.
How about that the coordinators and quarterbacks and everything, like, people are so aware that it's National Tight End Day that they're purposely force-feeding the ball in the red zone to the tight end.
Are they?
I mean, it could be, what is that called, where you think something's true, it's confirmation bias, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it is, but cause and effect, who knows? But it looked like it was.
They had we were in the press conference room, so I didn't see it. Did you happen to see the graphic they threw up in the last couple minutes of the game about it being National Tight End Day and the tight end numbers? I think that where they had said it was, is that what you just said, the most receptions and yards in NFL history on a single Sunday?
I didn't get that one.
It was on a single Sunday. It was the most receptions and yards for tight ends collectively in the history of the NFL yesterday.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it's weird. It seems like they were being targeted, or at least the opportunities were there.
The feel-good story of the day and the stunner taking place in the dog pound.
Everybody's Ravens moving around for the Ravens. Yeah, here's Tillman. Tillman on the slant into the end zone. Doorstep of 20.
Browns over Ravens.
Jameis
Winston getting the start for Deshaun Watson, and Cleveland shocks Baltimore.
Shocks them. Big day for Till. I was telling people, pick him up. Got 12 targets last week.
Who?
Tillman, who had the game-winning touchdown there.
Rocky Top.
Yeah. I said he had 12 targets last week. Jameis likes him because they don't have anybody else. They got rid of Amari Cooper. Got to pick up Cedric Tillman. He's the guy. Big play. Big play from Jameis.
Deshaun Watson has never thrown for over 300 yards in any of his 19 games as a Brown. Jameis and Flacco have done it 6 times in 7 combined starts. Watson has not done it once, and Jameis was trying to channel all the magic in his pregame interview.
Opportunities come once in a lifetime. And with those opportunities, we have to make the most of it. Every one of us have an individual responsibility to go out there and fight for each other. Represent the names on your back, represents the names that's on your helmet. Well, we don't got no decal. So represent the Browns. All right? One play at a time. All right? Together. All right, here we go. Family on three. One, two, three. Family. Let's get it.
Represent that name on the. Oh wait, we don't have any.
We don't have no decals.
It's just the ugly brown color up there.
Boy, he. It's so much better when Jameis is playing routinely in the NFL and playing well. But man, he's gone through such an image shift.
Yes.
From when he was the number one pick and
crab
was,
legs.
Not just crab legs. People just talk about like he got a lot of hell that unfairly was probably grouped in with the Manziel types in terms of just like the thought process with him. And he's turned out not to be that guy. He's turned out to be somebody who everybody loves being teammates with and just feels like he's a great, fun-loving guy and yesterday played really well.
All right, my other notes from yesterday, Tua made his return for the Miami Dolphins. So a lot of people speculating he'd be kept out. He's not going to go ahead and wear the guardian cap. But the Miami Dolphins, with the heat turning up, I feel like slowly the heat is turning up on Mike McDaniel. They lose to the Cardinals 28-27. Marvin Harrison is doing work for them.
And they had a really good chance to win this game, Miami did. I mean, they were in control for a while in this one. A little back and forth. You could see they were just in the second half. They constantly held a lead. And then Arizona just wins it. And this is a tough spot for Miami because they were a team that a lot of people had in the playoffs this year.
Back to the Cowboys and the Trayvon Diggs incident after the game at 8 o'clock. Right now it's time for best and worst of the weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
I'll start it off as my wife, my goodness, did she put in effort. I didn't know she loved Halloween this much, but the amount of Amazon packages, the amount of decorations, the amount of effort that this woman put, we're like, all right, we're just going to invite people with young kids for a Halloween party. Because her premise is you wear the costume one time, maybe twice if your school has them dress up. So let's get some use out of these costumes, not just one and done, right? For when Halloween actually is. So we had a gathering on Saturday at the house, and the big story, Eric Chiafalo winning the costume contest.
Showing a little midriff.
Oh man. I said Choppy's gonna make fun of this. And he's like, damn it. I'm not doing my abs. I had too much stomach showing here. I purposely took the picture of Eric sitting in a fattening position.
Yeah, he had the
page six Sharif over there. Just he had
the Ryan Routh belly button.
What's that?
If you remember The second Trump shooter, it's just a smiley face line. The line.
Yeah, but he came in with his purple pimp outfit. Is it Papa Shango? I don't know. Whoever the pimp was in WWF, someone will text it to me, Kevin Hegland. But Chiafalo dressed the part. The story of the night, though.
Val Venus?
I don't know. Maybe it was. It wasn't Papa Shango. He was into some like voodoo stuff. Zach Wolchuk took a little tumble. I have a swinging chair right by the pool that I got probably about 7 years ago. You guys have all seen it. Bobby has sat in it when he's wearing a sweatshirt in 105 degree weather. And no one has ever fallen. That chair has never fallen over in all the years I've had it. Well, in the past two weekends, it's fallen twice. My mother-in-law fell in it, actually two of the last three weekends when I was in Nashville. And I'm inside the house, greeting people, all showing up. Zach Wolchuk doesn't fall to the left, doesn't fall to the right, to the side. This thing falls straight back and into the pool. Zach goes into the water, full splash.
Oh, no.
The really unfortunate part, and I'm not going to find and tweet any video, DFW security, because I don't want other hotline numbers being called. Zach had his baby with him.
On him. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Can she swim?
Well, she's baptized.
All right.
That I do know.
Okay.
Zach had the baby in arms as he took the fall into the pool, into the water. Baby totally fine. Okay. But Zach is humiliated and embarrassed as he falls into the pool with the chair and the baby, as we quickly had to go ahead and settle that situation down.
And so that is the cause of the...
Okay, so later on at night, his wrist starts swelling. And for an hour takeover, it becomes a debate of whether Zach has to seek a doc and get medical attention for that swollen wrist. Now, he's able to move it. His guess was it was not broken. But the way it was swelling up, it looked like it was broken. It looked like it needed to get drained quickly.
His wrist looks like Jaden Daniels' elbow.
Yes.
Like, oh, God, yeah. Just goofy looking.
Same
like,
skin color, everything.
Like, yeah. That, like, that swelling there, it's like your wrist shouldn't.
No.
Not just swell like that, but it also looks like it's pushing forward. Yeah, that does. Just doesn't look right.
Did you think, what did you think when you saw that picture?
I thought there was a, I thought it was a, at first, I was like, oh, allergic reaction to a bug. Bug bite.
Yes.
Big bug bite. Somebody get bit by a snake. That's what happened there.
He fell on it. So I was like, dude, you're not doing anything tonight. No one is. Let's take a shot. Chill out. Have the wife drive home with the baby. Baby's all good. But no, I saw his phone started like ringing from his mom. And I'm like, what is this? Everybody loves Raymond? Like, is your mom following me on social media? How does she know that you fell? Zach goes to a doc in the box later on at night. That night ends up being a sprain. He's like, I got Cowboys post. I said, yeah, your post game's going to start at 11 p.m. You got time to deal with it tomorrow. Don't worry about it tonight.
Yeah, a lot of time.
He went to the doc in the box. Only a sprain. So, Walchuk, I think, good to go.
Which, to be fair, you made it, or he at least was presenting as though he was not overreacting to
it. No, he was not.
Okay.
I asked Eric, I'm like, is that kind of a wuss? Is he going to, like, milk this? Like, God knows what happened if this was Bobby. Oh, we'd have helicopters over the house, spotlights. Kristen would be calling 911.
I would have never been that close to the pool.
Yeah, that's right. So that was Walchuk going in with the Halloween gathering that took place on Saturday. All right, Chop. Almost got me in my feels a little bit with your best and worst of the weekend.
It's the same moment. Best and worst is the same moment. So we went to see my old man on Saturday as he celebrated birthday number 78.
The Godfather was the pimp. Thank you,
Godfather. Godfather, yes. So birthday number 70, all the fam was there. My sister and her daughter flew in from Georgia and from Michigan. Big swing state family, Sean. Oh. Georgia and Michigan. Big swing state family. And all the grandkids were there. So they had, two.
Dang, your dad is basically 10 years younger than my dad.
Yeah, I know.
10 years younger.
The six grandkids were all there. And, you know, to all the photos and everything, and he's just sitting there in his chair, you know, just kind of like propped up, eyes closed, mouth open. Like he looks like an old man taking a nap, that, right? Well, I see this, we're on the back patio, so he's not in like a nursing home, it's a nursing house. It's like a hospice home. Well, in walks this older guy in this big orange shirt, and I look at it, I was like, I recognize that shirt. It was my dad's old man softball team. So he played like in an over 70 softball league or over 65, whatever it was. And this older guy, Harold. Now, Harold's like your dad's age. He's like 10, but he's totally with it, right?
Yeah.
My dad's more like me.
Shots fired, Dad.
No. Like your dad's with it.
Yeah.
And he's with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like 86. And he comes up and he starts like, you know, talking to all of us. And I remember him. I mean, my kids remember him too when he was playing. And he starts talking to my dad. My dad's not doing anything. My dad doesn't move. He doesn't speak. He doesn't open his eyes. Nothing. Well, we're there about 10 or 15 minutes with this guy, Harold. And Harold says something to him, like in a joking way. And my dad, out of nowhere, eyes open, starts laughing.
No way.
No idea what he was saying something to him about, remember this one time you got this hit and I ran a second. I ran into you or something like that. Whatever it was. I don't remember the story. And he opened his eyes.
Full-blown woke up.
Opened his eyes and then like did like a big smile. Now it's like, it's not, no sounds coming out, but you see a big giant smile on his face.
Wow.
And Harold just pats him on the chest and like turns around and puts his hand up. And you see him just break down in tears. Because it's his own. I mean, he's seen his own mortality too. He's 86 years old, and he just walks out. Doesn't even say goodbye. Just leaves. He didn't want anybody to see him have that moment. And you know, I was getting kind of misty eyed.
Yeah.
And I look over at Sarah, who was there, and she is just in full on bawling.
Yeah.
She's never really met my dad.
Yeah.
My dad's been gone for 5, 6, 7 years. She's only been around for 3.
But you're 100% convinced he woke up because of that?
Absolutely. I don't know what, I don't really remember what it was that he said. I mean, I wasn't really paying attention.
I would take that personally. I would be mad. Yeah. That, oh, it was nothing I have said over the years is remotely entertaining. Nope, I'm a professional paid personality. Uh-huh. That's what I tell my family all the time. I'm like, you're taking up my time. I'm spending my voice mm-hmm. on you. I get paid all this money here. I'm a professional personality. You get to, get it for free. And you couldn't make your dad react like that over all these years?
He doesn't know who I am. Man. Yeah, my mom kisses
him. Harold comes in.
Yeah, my mom
kisses
him.
You have to go in there as Harold.
I should. I really should. Put the jersey on. Yeah. Put the orange jersey on and go in there as Harold.
That's awesome.
And that's something that, a lot of it, there's a lot of stories out there.
This man has more fight left than the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I know.
I thought 2 years ago this was done. The feeding tube you told us like a month or two ago, that was supposed to be done.
Yeah.
Heck no.
No, I know. It's wild. Next thing you know, he'll be brushing his own teeth.
Yeah, that's right.
So what is there have been two of those recently, because the other was he was getting his nose hair plucked, and
I gave him a haircut.
Are you
big
giving
time.
Him,
oh, yeah,
and
I
he
gave
like,
him.
He was like, get off of me. Yeah, or whatever he did.
Every once in a while.
They talk about that, though, how like a lot of people get those, you'll just get random trigger points where you have no idea why it's going to click for, and it just does.
So he laughed at Harold. He got mad at me. That's what it was. The last time the last reaction I got out of him is when I plucked his nose hairs and he got all mad at me.
Bob, best and worst.
The worst of the weekend just happened a few hours ago. So I don't know where my wallet is. It's either on the bus in San Jose or I left it on the plane when we were leaving. And so I don't have my wallet, which I'm one of those idiots who carries a social security card in his wallet. So I don't have my I don't have my social security card or
why can't you laminate that
credit
thing?
Card or my debit card or any of my Odyssey cards like to get into the building. Everything's gone.
And you lost your phone on the way there. The dreaded, someone has to come up with a Shark Tank thing for when your phone falls in the crack of your freaking car seat. Whoever reaches down and brings it back the first time. You got to pull over. You got to wait till you get to where you go. Look underneath. Kristen told me that happened to you on the plane seat.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst. So I've got the old phone that is just, it has internet on it and it can't do anything else. It doesn't have like phone network. So that's just with me because I use it to take photos during game day. But I dropped my primary phone, which that was the pain in the ass because I couldn't actually message with that one. So I had to go.
You were
to
stuck in that till you landed, no phone.
Yeah, and so that was just one of the flight attendants offered to get it, but I was like, I don't want you to crawl under and get it. I wanted to know it was down there. Cool, it's down there because I couldn't see it. So that the wallet is the worst by far because I don't know if I'm gonna get that back. I texted Cowboys PR. They're like, we'll talk to people. And we'll let them know to look out for it. But
how'd you get breakfast this morning for us?
So you got the app, and then you can basically like put your payment method in there, and then we'll pay through the app. And so that's what I did.
So it's saved, or you remember your credit card info?
I remember my info.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't remember my number. Not the full number.
I know
I'm kind of close, but
yeah. The problem is now everything populates. You know. If you just start putting
Springfield, Ohio. What are you referring to?
That's right.
I don't save my card info anywhere. So whenever I have to enter it, I have to enter it every time. So because of that, it's just I've done it enough over the years that I now know it.
All right, if you find Bobby's wallet, please return it to the radio station, 11th floor, Odyssey Radio Tower. Did Trayvon Diggs just copy Jerry Jones after last night's loss? The blow up that everyone in the Metroplex is talking about. Next on Sean and RJ.